First, we'll start by introducing yourself.
I'm Scarlett Braden.
Okay, and?
And I'm a novelist, and I now have a company called Signature Author Services where we offer all the stuff that authors hate to do to help promote their book or manage their social media and all those types of things.
And how long have you been doing that?
I started doing it as an author's assistant about a little over a year ago, but am broadening the spectrum and adding a partner to help take some of the load off so that I can do more, offer more services and all that.
I thought I had read a while back that you were going to close it, and then all of a sudden you expanded it.
Yeah. I was working as an author's assistant, and my plan was to retire the first of the year and just focus on my writing. But my partner friend needs to get out of what he's doing and do something new. And I said, well, I can teach you to do this. I'll work to help build it up to where it's making more of an income than it was before. Because I didn't need a lot of income, didn't want to do a whole lot of work. You know, I just needed a little to supplement. And so I said, I'll give you 6 months and we'll build it up. And then, you know, you can take over doing more of it. And I'll have more time to write, you know, because then you can take over taking care of my stuff too.
And so what do you do exactly in your business?
We do the formatting for ebooks and print books. We help manage social media. We make graphics like memes for social media. We make videos. We can help consult on a number of things, Facebook ads.
And this is primarily for fiction writers?
No, any kind of writers. And a lot of this stuff translates to other things as well, but our focus is more on authors because that's what we know.
Right.
You know, how to get that out there. And that's the hard thing for indie writers is getting noticed.
Right, a lot of competition out there.
Yeah. And more so for fiction writers. Nonfiction's easier to sell, actually, than fiction is.
Oh, as a nonfiction writer, that's good to hear.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the difference is in nonfiction, you have people who are looking for a book.
Right.
They say, oh, I'm thinking about opening a business. I'm going to go Amazon search or Google, you know, how to start a business. And if you've done your keywords properly, you should show up. And so they're looking for that. When you're selling fiction, how do you do that? You know, oh, I'm going to go look for a book about, you know, and so you do get some general terms, genres or...
Dragons, fairies.
Right, right. But then there's millions. I mean, there's something like 80,000 new releases on Amazon every month.
Jeez.
So, yeah, how do you separate yourself out from that?
Right.
And that's what we're trying to become experts at. And I hate using that word trying when you're trying to sell yourself.
Right.
Because it doesn't sound very confident. But the reality is, in the world of publishing and books, it changes so fast. You know, I was doing a presentation for the Writers Conference last year, and I was basically using one I had used for the writer support group, a presentation earlier in the year. And last December, the model changed completely, and I had to start all over. So I had to start over with the research and trying to get the research in and what works and what doesn't work by the end of March. It was a crazy time.
So expertise is just about staying ahead of the market.
Not to make light of the medical profession, but it's very similar in that it's always changing. You have to know what's working, and also what works for sci-fi doesn't work for romance, doesn't work for mystery, you know. It's so, yeah. And for me, the best way to do that is to have contacts and a network of successful authors who are doing it and making a living at it, and then picking their brains very carefully so I don't wear out my welcome. But
so your business is located here in Ecuador, but is it international?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's basically all computer work. And so, yes, I have customers in the U.S. and customers here, and can take customers from basically anywhere.
So how do you market?
Social media, word of mouth. You know, you do a good job for a writer, and writers are basically introverts. But we don't necessarily like being alone all the time. And so, but we also kind of get to be singular-minded about a lot of things and don't have much to talk about outside of being writers. And so there are literally hundreds of writers' groups online. Now, the problem with them is that you can't promote yourself in most of them.
Right. Thank God, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they tried that model a couple of years ago, and they said, hey, we're going to develop these Facebook groups for mystery lovers or romance lovers, and as writers, we'll get to interact with the readers, you know, and we'll be able to tell them about our books, and this is like a win-win. And what ended up happening in virtually no time at all was the only people going to the groups were the writers. They were just going in, posting their books, and leaving. And nobody was even seeing them. And so you'd spend a day posting. At one time, I had a spreadsheet that the membership of these groups equaled over 1 million people. And it was like, okay, great. So if I go in and I post in all these Facebook groups, 1 million people are going to see this. No one was seeing them.
Yeah.
You know, and there are still some people who are still doing that. And it just, it doesn't work. So that's one of those things that worked for a little while, and now it doesn't work anymore. And so they stopped self-promoting. So you really have to build the relationships. You have to get to know people outside of the groups. You know, start making Facebook friends and get on a one-on-one relationship with them. And
through social media.
And then you can, through private messaging or emails or whatever, then you can start. So it takes some time to build up because you have to build the relationships first.
Right, that's kind of a standard of internet marketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Build the relationships. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So you are in this business and now you have a partner,
mm-hmm.
right? So how are you dividing up the workload?
Well, right now he's learning what I know. I'm learning what he knows. So for instance, we've just spent the last 2 weeks building websites together. That was something I didn't know how to do, and I was having someone else do mine. And so by working with together on it, I'm learning how to build websites, and he's learning what an author website should be.
Okay.
So for now, we're cross-training, and I will teach him how to do formatting and that sort of thing. So we each have different strengths,
mm-hmm.
and but then between us, I don't know that I will ever be able to not have my hand in whatever is going on, because it will always feel like right now this is our company, but it'll always be mine.
Yeah, it started with you.
Yeah, it'll, and he's okay with that, but you know, I'll oversee probably anything.
Right,
before
so
it goes
you're
out.
The CEO or.
Yeah, the chief control freak.
Right. Well, I tell a lot of people when I'm, you know, helping them with their business that there's a lot of roles you have to play in writing business. It's not just formatting or just doing the web. I mean, you have to do the operations, which is, are we out of ink in the printer?
Right.
You have to do the finance, you know, what's the balance in the checking account?
Yes.
You have to do the marketing and the sales, and then somebody has to keep track of all of that.
Right.
So how do you divide up those roles?
Right now, I do most all of that because control freak. Yeah, control freak.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm laughing because we were having this thing right before I left to come here. And he's building a new website for the company. And he said, you know, I want these pictures that are not memes. And I said, no, because I'm trying to sell memes. You have to use them. But the memes don't fit. What do you mean they don't fit? They fit in the other website just fine, you know. And it's, okay. What do you want pictures of? I'll find you royalty-free pictures. Just tell me what you want, you know. So, yeah, there's some learning.
Right. That's the relationship building. that we were just talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's, yeah, a different aspect of it, yes.
So are you actively marketing, or are you trying to get all this under control before you...
Yeah, I'm doing some marketing. Not really marketing, but, I'm putting the word out there. I've notified some of my existing customers that we're going to this new thing, and we're going to have more services, and requested testimonials from them, and I've gotten some really nice things back that, you know, we'll put on the website. So we're building the website. I just started a Facebook page and working on building that up, because that's one of the things that we will help authors do, is get those followers.
Right.
But I have to do it first to prove that I can.
Right, and have an example to show people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right now we're building all of that. So I'm thinking, probably 2 to 3 months before we're really in full swing.
And so let's talk a little bit about just being an entrepreneur. Had you been an entrepreneur before you started this business?
Not successfully.
Well, that doesn't count. It doesn't matter when you're successful, because you're trying, right?
I've dabbled in a few things over the years. Basically, I get an idea in my head and I try something and it doesn't work, I move on. I'm ADHD and a little bit OCD. And so I laugh and I say, what I'm OCD about changes because of the ADHD. So I try something for a while, and if it doesn't just fly, then I don't keep beating my head against the wall, is how I choose to look at it.
So do you set clear goals? Do you say, I have to make X number of dollars in the next quarter, or
yeah,
I'm going to abandon it?
Not quite to that extreme, but... if I work at something for 6 months to a year and it just isn't growing, if it's not growing, as long as there's consistent growth, I consider that success.
Okay.
So I kind of use that more of a marker than actual dollars, which is probably why I'm poor. But like I said, as long as it's growing.
And that's a good example, because if you're looking to start a business on the internet, the sort of standard message is go big, get venture capital,
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people don't want a business like that. You said yourself, you just needed some money.
Right.
You have other sources to, buy the groceries with.
Well, my big thing is I don't want to work 40 hours a week.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't. That's why you have to start your own business, right?
For me, at this point, my career is as a writer. I do this to pay for editors and book covers and that kind of thing. So I don't want to work 40, 60 hours a week. I have a good, strong work ethic. This New Year's weekend, I worked 14, 16 hours a day every day. But I want to do what I want to do, which is write.
Right. So you were working at writing or working at your business?
No, we were working on building websites and setting up social media accounts and, get the videos up on YouTube and all that kind of stuff.
That's a lot of work for
it
a
is.
Writer. It's a lot of work, I know.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And that's just doing it for yourself. That's not even doing it for customers.
Right. Right. Well, and this was all setting up everything for the company. So, it was not furthering my writing at all.
And that's how it starts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you decided to start the business, become an entrepreneur here, what were your goals then?
When I very first started, it was when I moved here, it was because the cost of living was less. And I could have a better life here. But I came here with my mom. And so we split things like the rent, the utilities, and all that. And then she died. And so all of a sudden, literally overnight, my expenses doubled.
Right.
And so I thought, well, you know, if I want to maintain this, then I got to figure out how to make some money. And at the time, I was doing all the same stuff. I was just doing it for free for people,
I think,
friends.
That's how a lot of people start. It's like something, you know, you're good at doing.
And I had friends saying, you know, you could be charging for this. And so I did. And then the mantra has been, you're not charging enough for this, you know. And then I go on Fiverr and I look and, yeah, I'm not charging enough. But so many of my customers are here, mm-hmm, with limited incomes or fixed incomes. And the cost of living is less. I don't need to make as much per hour as somebody who's living in California does.
Or Australia, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I charge based on what I would want to pay for something, and I'm cheap. So that's how, you know, so like for these websites, we will be offering websites for authors for less than anybody will build a website for.
So
we're not even publicizing our price.
Because it's so.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, we would, because it is designed just for authors, you know, but a 5-page website for $300.
Yeah.
You know, completely customized.
But you have a very specific niche that you're working for, too.
Yeah.
So you don't have to compete with everybody.
No.
Because, of course,
don't
when you
to.
Set a low price, that, you know, then people wonder what the quality is because price. So you have to stay within.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I actually address that on our website, you know, and say, you know, just like as authors, when we offer the first book in our series for free, or we rent it on a promo for 99 cents, it's not because the quality isn't good or the editing is bad or we didn't have a professional cover made. You know, it's business. And for us, our cost of living is lower here.
Right.
So we don't have to charge as much.
Yeah, I just bought batteries for this recorder. Got 4 batteries for $2. I was like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, some things here are higher.
Well, actually, that's less. I mean, that'd be $1 each in America. So.
Well, I know, but I mean, clothes, electronics, those kinds of things are higher. But your everyday needs, you know, you just don't need as much. And I have a real hard time. Like, for instance, I have one customer that I do formatting for. And he was a former newspaper editor. And his books come to me so clean that all they need is just a little stylization, and I have a really hard time charging him what I charge someone who still types in a word processor like they did on the typewriter, and a lot of things have to be cleaned up from that, like using tabs for your indent and things like that. You have to pull all that out or it can really mess up an ebook. It doesn't compile right. So, you know, I don't charge him my going rate. I just can't. You know, sometimes it may only take me 45 minutes to do one of his books. And
so it sounds like your business is sort of between being a business and a hobby. I mean, you make a little bit of money, but you're not treating it like a profit-making enterprise.
Well, that's what I'm hoping to move into, as a profit-making. And I mean, basically for me, most of everything I make is profit. There's not a lot of expense.
So there's your time, yeah.
Right. And that's really all I charge for, you know. And up until this point, I've only been charging $10 an hour. That's the going rate in Ecuador.
It is, yes. But now if you have an international audience.
Right. Yeah. So we went to 15.
Well, I know people that, you know, they have an Ecuador rate and a United States rate.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have done a little bit of that. But now that I'm having to publicize my rates, then that makes it a little harder.
Yeah, maybe you need to.
So,
I'm always full of ideas. That's why I coach. I won't say anything.
Coupon codes for my Ecuadorians?
Well, I was going to say you could do packages, right?
Mm. So I did.
Yeah,
I did.
So did you learn to be an entrepreneur, or do you think you're just figuring it out as you go along?
I'm guessing it's probably a combination of the two. Of course, you know, I studied business in college. So, you know, had marketing, had accounting, had all that. And then have worked in corporate America. So you learn a lot of what not to do when you do that, I think. And so I'm guessing it's a mix.
So you didn't have a family member who was an entrepreneur. That's often the, the key. Yeah.
Mm. No. I have an uncle who owns a business, but that's not ever something that we
teach you.
Yeah, that we ever talked about, no. So, yeah, I think it's just, you know, you try things. I think anybody who's doing this tends to do some research and see what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, people have questions and then go looking for the answers.
Right.
But, you know, and your business, because it didn't have a lot of upfront expenses.
No, none.
You could be more casual about it.
But right.
Somebody who's investing in, say, the equipment.
Right. Then you have to do a lot more research.
A lot more planning.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just kind of fell into it.
Right.
You know, in fact, I say, when I started writing, I did not have a budget for editing and book covers and formatting and all that kind of stuff. So I learned to DIY it.
Right.
Now, I'm enough of a perfectionist that I didn't want my cover to look like I did it myself, you know, and I certainly didn't want my formatting to look. And quite honestly, my first book has been reformatted 4 times as I've learned new things. It's like, and I look at it and I go, ooh. You know, I have to go back and fix it. So it was a learning process I did basically for me to begin with, you know, just to save myself money. And then, you know, then I found out, you know, that other authors are just like me. I would rather be writing than doing all this other stuff. So it is a good avenue. Like you said, almost a hobby.
Right. But I'm okay with that because I think a lot of people want small businesses.
Yeah.
They want to spend more time with their kids or write or do something else. They don't want to be full-time. I mean, you can be full-time, open up a physical location and spend all your days there. But a lot of people want small businesses. But I think it takes the same skill set to be successful at a small business. You have to think about who's managing this, who's...
But you're exactly right, too. And if you're in the kind of business that requires overhead and investment, then you better be better at it than somebody like me. I'm kind of fumbling my way through it, to be completely honest.
Begins. But that's how everybody begins. And
yeah.
That's why I caution people. I mean, I think it's totally okay to start something and then move on to something a little bigger or a little more focused on your skill set or whatever, but not to jump in with your life savings because you have a good idea, which a lot of people still do.
Yeah. I'm not much of a gambler. That would scare the bejesus out of me.
You
to
see
do that.
It here a lot because you see shops open up and then close. Restaurants open up and how to do it better.
Yeah.
So how do you think living overseas has affected your business?
Well, I lived overseas before I started it. So for me, if anything, it's an advantage because it's a novelty.
Right.
I mean, I actually have customers in the U.S. who like being able to say, oh, I have a friend in Ecuador who does this for me, or whatever,
right.
You know. Just from the novelty effect of it. But otherwise, I don't think it really makes any difference with what I do.
Well, you've also said you don't need to make as much money, so you're better able to be competitive because you live here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in one writer's group where there are 3 people. It's a small group of 200 people, and there are 3 of us who all do the same thing. And I can charge less than they do because one of them is in Ireland, one of them is in the UK, and, you know.
Right, they just have more expenses.
Yeah.
Cost them more.
So they have to charge more. And yet, all the people, the majority of the membership is in the U.S. or Canada. There's a few from Canada in there. So by far, probably 70% at least of the group is actually in North America, but yet everybody doing these services is not
shipping them out.
You know, so I don't guess it really matters to most people where we are.
That is the advantages of having a small business, where it's personal relationships and returning customers and the flexibility to do that. I mean, if you had, you know, six people doing the formatting for you, charging their rate, then you'd be much more
right
committed. So that's
yes,
it's just the difference between getting big and staying small.
Yeah, yeah. And I you know, we need for this business to grow at this point. Can't do that.
Right.
So now we are looking at trying to build it up so that, and what that is going to entail is not, in my opinion, charging more. It's getting more customers.
Right. And then hiring people to do the work.
You know, right. and doing as much of it as we can. And then if it gets too big, then we can start adding people, you know.
Well, and, you know, I say this for the readers, there's a lot to be said about growing your business and hiring people, because now you're contributing to the community. You're not just
right.
paying your own bills, but you are building something that other people benefit from.
Right.
And I think ultimately, you know, for an entrepreneur, that's the next step. But you have to get there slowly, because you don't want to put your life savings into it and then right. hire three people and then fire them. You know,
right.
That's not the way.
You know, I've
it.
Had that happen to me a couple of times in my life. You know, where, you know, you leave one good job, you go to work for somebody, and 3 months later they close the doors, and you think, you did not know that you were that close to closing your doors before you hired me? You know, it just doesn't make sense. So, yeah, but for us, being able, we will be able to subcontract stuff out. And
right, eventually, because
yeah.
you have to.
And yeah. Well, and if we have, you know, that's one of the things that we say to our customers. If there's something that you need that we don't know how to do, we probably know someone who does. And we can either connect those people or we can act as a middleman.
Right.
You know, whatever they prefer. So, again, that's part of being small, I guess, to be able to do that.
Right, but when you want to grow, you'll start looking at that capability and reorganizing it so that it
yeah.
contributes to the business and to your community.
I think building a business is just like most things, that the one thing that you can count on is change.
So do you have specific goals? I mean, is there something you want to see at the end of the year?
Yes, yes. At this time, it is financial.
Yeah, right, which it should be. We're talking
yeah.
business, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, quite honestly, when I started this, I was looking for about $100 a month. That was all I really needed,
right.
you know. And now I'm looking more at that $2,000 to $3,000 a month.
Because now you have a
goal.
Partner. And yeah, that. But that, I think, is the natural progression of a
yeah.
small business. You start because it's something you know how to do and there's a need for it and you probably don't mind doing it that much. So you start small, but it's a natural progression, especially when you see the opportunity out there. You see that there's people that need what you want, so why not create a system that can sort of serve them?
Well, and for us, a lot of what we do is fun for us. I mean, yes, there are times when I am beating my head against a wall, but for the most part, it's creative, and it's with the formatting, the websites, you know, those kinds of things. You know, that's what Ron said to me last night when we finished a website. He said, I just love doing this because at the end of the day, you can see what you did,
right.
you know. And so there is that, you know. It's not things that we hate doing. If it was, I wouldn't be doing it.
Oh, right. And that's the advantage of being in business for yourself. You get to
right.
choose something you like to
yes.
do.
Yes, and so like I kind of have cut back. I'm not really doing AMS ads. I don't think they're working that well anymore. Everybody was doing them and doing them the same way, and they just kind of quit being effective. But it was extremely time consuming to do them. So no, we're not doing that anymore. We're doing other things that work better.
Right, and that's...
And don't take as long.
That's what you offer your clients, is knowing what works better, right? Authors in particular, you get the book written and then you're like, well, now what?
Now what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go write another one. That's what.
That's what you like to do, but then they're languishing there. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's, you do. You have to keep producing. That's the biggest key.
As an author.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just have to keep writing.
And this is fiction writing. I just want to point out that we're talking fiction writing in this business, not necessarily nonfiction, which I think is a different
model. It is a different animal, but that part of it is the same.
The formatting.
No, formatting is different. the fact that you have to keep writing. You have to keep putting more books out there. There's an extremely popular group right now called 20 Books to 50K.
Oh, yeah. Heard of it.
And it's, when I joined it, it was at like 7,000 members, and right now I think it's at 15,000. I mean, it's just, and that's just over probably 6 months. But these are the authors who are making 5-6 figure monthly incomes off of their books and how to do it.
Self-published authors.
Yes. Yes. They just had their own writers conference in Las Vegas and first of November, and they're having one in the UK in London in 2018. I don't remember what month, but I've learned a lot from them, and there are fiction and nonfiction writers in this group, and people who write both. And a lot of authors are using nonfiction to help supplement the fiction, because nonfiction books do sell better. You can sell them for more, and they do sell better, and it's not as hard to market them. But still, it's really hard to make a living at it if you only have one or two
right.
books out there. You know, so I mean, I myself, I've got a fiction series that really isn't doing much, and so all my reviews on it are good. I don't have any negative feedback on it. So chances are, the way that I launched it is a lot of why it's not selling.
Because people don't see it, huh?
Yeah, and I there were a whole lot of things as a new writer that I didn't do right. So I have two new series I'm working on, and I will try different things or in different genres. And if that makes a difference, I'll relaunch the first one and see,
right.
you know, if that does it. So yeah, it's always a trial and error, but the other thing is, the reason the AMS ads were working for a while is just the simple fact that once you see
AMS
a title,
is Amazon.
Amazon Marketing Services, yeah. As once you keep seeing the same book cover come up and up and over and over and over again, you finally go, I think I'm really going to go read this Girl in the Train thing, because I keep seeing it everywhere. So. Exposure is one thing, and as people start seeing your name more and more often, it starts to sink in subliminally, and then they say,
I
think I'll go check that out. Yeah.
So the business of writing.
Yeah, it's about brand recognition, just like everything else.
Well, I'm not going to get into the writing, because that's off topic of just starting a general business. I mean, my focus is people and business. But thank you very much for your time, Scarlett.
You're welcome.
Is there anything else you want my readers to know?
No.